We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray. Did you have, like, a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Or, you know, me, because Alp's Wi-Fi is not working with him right now. So that's kind of fun. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Hangover Time. I'm Brass Jazz. Thanks for coming out tonight. Got a very special show for you. We got Mr. Israel Gutierrez from ESPN with us tonight. Straight from the Heat-Celtics game that took place and didn't end so great. Looked promising for a while there. And then kind of shit the bed at the end. Anyway, with us today, here's the crew we got tonight. We got Alex Solana.
Who is Peyton Pritchard? I would like to know who that is.
That's a wonderful question. We got Tiffany Meeks.
Hello.
We got Joey Haushauer.
Hello.
For the pronunciation. And as I said, Mr. Izzy Gutierrez himself.
And I want everybody to know who's watching. Don't worry. I'm totally safe. Eyes on the road, express lane only. I'm good, guys.
All right. Excellent. And now we're going to try this out. Let's see how this works out.
Yay!
Are we good?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes. We can hear you.
Holy shit, that was a... that was quite an ordeal trying to just get on my own damn show. What have we done so far? We introduced everybody. I see Izzy's...
We've introduced everybody. We should ask everyone what they're drinking, except for Izzy. I hope.
Whatever Izzy's drinking needs to be kept on a low low. We don't want to alert. What's
in the cup holder, Izzy?
Absolutely not. Actually, there's an empty Red Bull from before the game because it's been a long game.
I thought you were going to say absolute. I was like, oh, shit. Whoa. Come on. Florida Highway Patrol watches this show.
They had a bunch of stuff going on today.
All right, so let's go around the horn. Brass, what are you drinking?
I got some ragtime rye whiskey. Delicious.
All right. Ragtime. It fits the whole brass jazz mystique. I like it.
That's right.
Tiffany, what are you drinking tonight?
You know, I got Tito's with a little muddled fruit.
A little muddled fruit. Look at you.
Right.
Fancy.
Because Izzy's here. I had to get fancy. Izzy's here.
Fancy on a heat loss. All right. Joey. The whole house shower thing threw me off. Yeah. Joey, house shower. What's going on? What are you drinking tonight?
I also went fancy. Twisted tea.
Oh.
Perfect to slap a mother. I can't curse within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
They should use that for advertisement, that video.
Yeah, just slapping the you know what out of people.
Yeah.
Solana, oh my God. What are we doing tonight, Solana? What are you drinking?
You have little faith in me. I brought a real drink today. I'm getting classy. I pulled out the very expensive Arbor Mist White Zinfandel.
Yes.
Exotic fruits. Only exotic fruits go in my body. So that's
nice.
That's what I'm drinking tonight.
Strike one.
Yeah, that's one. That's one, dude. All right.
I would have preferred Boone. I'd have preferred Boone's Farm, to be honest with you. And Izzy, you're not drinking.
But I know a few exotic fruits.
Oh, Izzy looks like he does the commercial for Lincoln. Looks like Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, someone said end this show. I part of me wants to after that game. But Brass, yes, Izzy is in a car. I don't know why anyone would ask that question. You know, he's just in the weirdest apartment ever. So Izzy, Brass, I know you have a little video. Izzy dropped a Bam feature tonight. Bam actually had a decent game until he threw a jump shot off the top of the backboard for no goddamn reason. But before that, he was having a good game. Brass, I don't know if you want to play some of that Izzy feature.
When Adebayo got to the NBA, he kept his mom close, moving her into the same apartment building, only a handful of floors separating him from a familiar face.
We're not used to being apart from each other for a very long time, so being away from her for like 3 days, I actually really start to miss my mom. When I go on the road, I try to call her at least once a day, twice a day.
The triple doubles for my mom, man. You know, I can't do nothing but thank her enough. You know, that's my pride and joy. I couldn't do it on her birthday, but I got it today, so.
All right, so it was a really heartwarming feature about Bam and his mom, and we've all heard a lot about him, a lot about Bam, the relationship with his mother. He bought his mother a house the second he signed that extension. Really feel good story. Izzy, I mean, can you get a little bit more in depth? What was your favorite part about doing that feature on Bam?
You know what it was? I think it was just like listening to him discuss what it is that made him want to do that specifically for his mom, because there are a lot of guys who have good relationships with their parents, with their moms in particular, coming into the league. But what is it about him in particular that, or her, that made this so special? And it was just recognizing, and you know, Eric Spoelstra's called Bam literally the best person he's ever met. And so with Bam Adebayo as a young kid, recognizing what his mom is going through, recognizing what's, you know, what other AAU teammates are have, and he doesn't. And they basically, you know, he sort of just decided then and there, like, this is my responsibility. I am the one who has to do this for my mother. And, you know, you can't really assume everybody's going to think the same way, you know? And so it was his primary goal, and it was just really soothing. It was just really cool to hear. And Bam is just, I mean, he's just as good as a person as you think he is. Yeah, it was just, you know, I listened to him talk, and it's basically the way I would have talked about my mom, or the same goals I would have had for my mom. So it was just a very simple connection point there. But he's just an awesome dude.
So yeah, if you guys haven't checked out the full feature, it's up on ESPN.com. There's people on the chat saying to trade Bam. He had 15, 8, and 10 tonight, almost had a triple-double. You guys are high on bath salts if you want to trade Bam. Like, I don't know what's wrong with you guys. There's some things we can talk about tonight that went wrong and that went right. I'm not sure Bam is to blame, except for the fact that he let one of the guys that stormed the Capitol building get an offensive rebound in the final seconds of the game. listen. I mean, come on.
Anyone but Pritchard.
Listen, and honestly, I couldn't remember where I saw him before, but me and Brass did some research, and we found some pictures of Pritchard's early career. There we go.
That looks like him right now. What do you mean?
Yeah, he used to play for the Washington Generals.
That's not real.
Is that real?
The fact that you have to question it, Joey, and he's the one who beat us tonight is a problem. That's part of the problem.
Like the professor or whatever.
There's things that we can get into in this game. I actually like the fact that the Heat had that bad start and they fought back. They showed some heart. They showed some effort. Even in the end of the game with 10 points down, and Duncan just goes crazy. My biggest problem, and I tweeted about this, I did not like that closing lineup before they brought Duncan back in. Joey, Iggy was out there. Iggy had a nice night from three, but I wasn't sure what he was doing out there to close the game.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like sometimes Spo likes to, like, ride the hot hand sometimes or, like, go with his gut. He used to do that. There was a game in particular, like, 5 or 6 years ago when LeBron was still on the team and Rashard Lewis was in a closing lineup. And it was just because he had just had it going, you know? So I just think that he kind of just goes with his gut when it's, like, real close to the end.
But my thing, Izzy, is you got your three threes from Iggy tonight. You weren't going to get anything else from Iggy. I just didn't get why he was – even defensively, he wasn't doing a lot for you. What do you think Spo's thinking was with having Iggy out there to close?
I mean, I think it was Tatum and Brown. I think that's the reason why well, it's a couple things, frankly. I mean, if they were going man, it's because of that. And it's because he's got to be on one of those guys. Frankly, that was the going into last year's playoffs, that was the big change. Because early in the season, this was a terrible matchup for the Heat when they had Hayward and Brown and Tatum. And now, you added Iguodala, and that helped that. You noticed that when down the stretch there, they went to that zone as a changeup. And I'm pretty sure Iggy was in there. And that's just, defensive brains and length there. So that's what he was thinking. And obviously, he's been shooting his threes the last couple of games. So if he got an open one, he probably would have hit it. The one that he missed was just, it wasn't a good shot. I think it was a forced shot because of the shot clock or whatever. But I wasn't too upset with the Iguodala minutes. What I thought was more missing from the team was just point guard play, frankly. I didn't think Goran had his usual sort of stretch there where he takes over the game at any point, and Tyler was just not really there either. So that's what I thought was missing, and that's why they didn't have a whole lot of direction, a whole lot of composure, and then you got to box out Pritchard.
down the stretch we saw what was going on as far as point guard play. Goran really, he had some moments, but he didn't totally have it tonight. By the way, just want to say thank you to Eric the Great for the gifted five subs tonight. I'm still trying to understand all this Twitch stuff. Tiffany, closing lineup, do you have any thoughts on that? Or where do you think this went right or where it went wrong tonight?
I mean, it was uneven the entire game. So the entire game was a little bit off. I wasn't really, I'm not going to be mad at the closing lineup. I'm mad at the failures of the closing lineup because it's just simple basketball. You box out, you don't take a 30-foot three-point shot. That's pretty much just what it was. It was just bad decisions. I think those guys were fine in. They really just didn't box out.
Solana, do you think they thought Pritchard was one of those guys coming to wipe up the sweat off the floor and just completely ignored him? Because that's what I thought was happening.
They literally didn't box out. Go ahead.
I kind of feel like Brad Stevens likes to flex on teams and just play these random guys nobody's heard of just to prove a point. Like, yeah, I'm going to beat you with this guy you've never heard of. You shouldn't do that shit to Spo, though. Like, there should be some sort of mutual respect there where, like, Brad Stevens isn't unleashing Pritchard for 33 minutes in the game and then leaving him out there in the closing lineup against Eric Spoelstra. Like, there's got to be a higher level of respect there for the best coach in the NBA.
Izzy, I'm going to ask you.
I got to tell you guys a quick little story. Man, Eric Spoelstra does not like doing these in-game interviews. He's such a pro because, like, he gave me two solid answers. But if you – and, like, man, I hope there wasn't a camera on this. If you would have seen, like, he threw a fit. Like, I heard him say, like, he sort of had his hands on his head, and I heard him sort of yell at Tim – I think it was Tim Donovan. He's like – I don't want to do this. And I'm just like, neither do I, Spo. Damn, I knew he had a lot in common. But he really doesn't like doing that. And I wonder if that's going to be something that he takes to the league, because I know a handful of coaches hate doing that. And I've never seen somebody respond like that. That was crazy.
And you have a relationship with him.
Oh, yeah. He's not mad at me. He was asking the questions. I mean, he saw him when I finally asked the questions. He was fine. He gave me two decent answers. But it's just the whole situation. Like, just coming off that bad play at the end of the third quarter, or a bad play, I think it was, at the end of the third quarter, and then you got to go right to the headphones. It's just, I wouldn't want to do it if I were him either.
One quick question. Izzy, is Tim Donovan there? Like, is he around Spo during the game? Like, how does that interaction work? Because I text him a lot during games to try to set up interviews the next day for Hawk and Crowder, and I feel now that you said that, like, it's maybe not a good idea for me to be texting Tim Donovan during
name drop.
No, but like, I genuinely want to know, because I mean, that's interesting.
He's on his phone during the game. He'll answer texts. Some games are busier than others, and some games, you know, maybe he's willfully ignoring. But for the most part, it's not a terrible idea to text him during games.
All right, true.
I want to ask Izzy, was there like a meeting at ESPN to try to make Pritchard a thing before the game? And honestly, and it pisses me off that he had the game winner, because he was shit all night. And I all I heard was about Pritchard and how, like, oh, he doesn't stop moving. Like, he dribbled into the paint and back out to the three-point line like an idiot. And it was like, it was nothing but praise. Yes. It was
funny. It's funny because, so before the game, you know, I'm doing my research or whatever. I actually had watched some of their last game against Toronto, and I watched him, and he had his best game. He had a solid game, right? And then I just, like, went back and just watched the highlights, because, you know, somebody's going to cut up highlights when you have a game like that. And it was just – it wasn't impressive. You know, a couple of tough shots, but never, like, really freeing himself from the defense, which is why it was crazy. I think it was Dragic or Hero that he put in the spin cycle in the paint at some point in the first half. And I was like, what are you going for a fake for this guy ever? He's, like, pretty short. And so, yeah, I think what happened was, you know, he had the big game before, came into this game, still no Kemba, so you knew he was going to get minutes. And, yeah, he looked exactly as I expected him to do. That is exactly the one compliment you can give him. Man, he tries hard. He's not quite TJ McConnell in that he's got more offensive game. But, I mean, it does hurt to lose. It's like losing to Jeremy Lin during Linsanity, and, you know, LeBron and Dwayne were here. That's what that feels like. It's like, man, why that guy? And people were making fun of Pritchard of the Celtics, frankly, for drafting Pritchard to begin with, right? They were saying, oh, it's definitely a Boston guy. It's definitely a Stevens guy. And here he is, you know, beating your team, and makes you want to punch the TV at 10 o'clock.
On a putback as a 6'3" white guy.
Right. And, man, like, it's okay to lose if, I mean, Bam was in Jason Tatum's grill on that sidestep three. If that ended up being, you know, the clincher, and, you know, Duncan didn't make his 10-0 run or whatever it was, or Evan Goran, then that's fine. But, man, 6'1" dude, rookie, not a great one.
Joey, on a day like today, where small white men have really,
it was a big day for that.
Like, to lose to a small white guy today, I feel like it was a microcosm of America.
His group chat is going wild,
lit,
crazy stuff being said. But yeah,
I mean, he has the parlor haircut, right?
Yeah, he works at Target.
He has a tiki torch haircut. I don't want to keep talking about Pritchard because it makes me sad. Tiffany, we got a Jimmy Butler game. Like, he was aggressive. He did some of the things that he was doing in the bubble. We got that from him, and he gave us a lot of those relief points where the Heat's offense just didn't look like it had anything going.
In a loss.
What? It might have been a win. Like, this was really close, right? Come on. The white friend from Like Mike hit a putback. Like, it's not like...
Yeah, they had an extra from The Departed. You know.
He left DC and walked into the American Airlines Arena and hit a putback. Like, I think Jimmy had a good game, Solana. Like,
no, he did. I didn't. I'm saying in a loss. I want to see these games in a win, but there's got to be a little bit more punch to everyone else, because Jimmy's not doing this for what, 66? I don't know how many more games.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I want to ask Izzy this because there's times that, you know, we're watching the Heat and they could use another guy that could just go get you a bucket. And there's Heat fans that, you know, if you say give up everybody for a guy like James Harden or a guy like Bradley Beal, who scored 57 points in three quarters tonight, they will lose their shit. Yeah, in a loss, but they will lose their shit on you. Izzy, do you think that he'd have to make a move for a guy like that, or is it more of a Kyle Lowry, a secondary, tertiary move that they have to make?
The Kyle Lowry one's interesting. I do think that they need another playmaker, another scorer, guy that can get his own. And I believe, you know, the goal is to have Tyler and Goran basically be those guys. Goran can. Tyler, we're not there yet. And it's a lot of inconsistency in his offensive game and his point guard game. I don't think they need another necessarily scorer. I don't think they need a guy or have to have a guy who can do that if they can fill, you know, the power forward slot, if they can just find a little bit more versatility. But if there was, if there was going to be that one hole that you want to fill, that's that. But then, you know, what kind of role are we talking about for that person? Is it just like, is it somebody that at the end of a shot clock? Because what you don't want to do is create a situation where you've got so many guys, or two or three or four guys, whose strengths is, you know, one-on-one, you know, go get your own shot. And then all of a sudden you lose some of the ball handling and movement. I'm sorry, some of the movement and passing that's going on. And so... I don't think that that's absolutely necessary. I don't think they have to go after Harden or Beal. I do think they can go after a complementary piece that can round them out. I'm curious about this, too. Not so much about the players, but there are a handful of teams that I think suffer from not having fans. And I think the Heat's one of them. And the reason I say that is because now, you know, I don't think they need the extra motivation. They're obviously very well motivated themselves. They're, you know, they're go-getters, but... they don't have, like, the Steph Curry joy guy, right? They don't have a guy that's just bringing a bunch of smiles to everybody. Because when Jimmy goes off, he's either yelling, you know, bitch, mother effer, this.
He's angry. Yeah.
Like, he's angry. Or Bam is just serious face. And so, like, the guys that get going from the crowd, whether it be a Tyler or a Duncan Robinson, like, I think all that's missing, and I think that's something that they would definitely benefit from. Who knows if we're ever going to get fans this year? Maybe in the postseason, we might see something close to full houses. But I definitely think the Heat suffers from that.
But okay, so everybody in the chat, in about 2 minutes, we're going to start going to questions from you guys. So start getting your questions there, so Brass can start bringing them up. But before you guys get to your questions, I have two questions for Izzy. One serious and one not so serious, but it's very important to me because I've seen Izzy out there. He has some nice modeling pictures. He was laying across the train tracks one time, really sexy, like nice stuff, you know. And I feel like I want to get into modeling a little bit, so I want Izzy to kind of give me his critique of my first photo shoot. Brass, do you have that?
Man, you are shredded,
right? Listen.
Play that off better than I do. I think your head looks better on my body than mine does.
I'm an amateur, Izzy. I went to the same train tracks you did, and I just, you know, I leaned up against them. I try to get that same vibe you have. What do you think? And if for anybody asking, I am wearing cargo shorts in this photo.
That's the right side of the tracks.
Yeah, I was on the wrong side of the tracks. I did the bad boy thing.
Right side of the track, so. I mean, what do you think? Is that, do I have a future?
In what?
Photoshop modeling. The other question.
I say, though, that picture drives me freaking crazy because, man, it's hard to maintain that level, you know? And so now that it's out there all the damn time, it's like, shit. Like, honestly, I'm not even kidding. I'm telling you guys.
Sounds terrible.
Where I'm supposed to go to the gym, and that photo is the motivation because I'm just like, well, shit, if somebody sees me with my shirt off and I don't look something close to that, I'm going to get fucking told it was Photoshopped and yada, yada. And so, yeah, that is the bane of my existence.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, worst case, you could look like this.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants him to take off his clothes.
Nope.
Okay, so my serious question now is, you were in the arena tonight. The mood after everything that's been going on in this country today, I feel like we started off with, you know, on a high with the Georgia results. And then, you know, then the clowns started objecting to the Arizona electoral votes. And then shit went haywire.
The country hit a turd quarter today, man.
Yeah, the country hit a turd quarter.
Good.
And you were in the arena and you kind of saw the team's reaction to what's going on tonight. And by the way, plug, we'll be doing a Light Skin Opinions episode live tomorrow at 8:30. And we're going to address some of this stuff way more in depth than we're going to do here because this is not the, you know, arena for it. But what was the mood? Because you were talking about that the players left the court. There was a point that we thought they weren't even going to play the game tonight. What was the overall mood of the two teams?
Well, my overall mood was frantic because there was a lot going on. But the overall mood between the teams. So there was a point, I want to say with like 60 minutes left on the clock, on the countdown clock before the game, where the Celtics kind of grabbed their stuff where they were shooting around, packed up their iPad, and everybody left. And nobody came back out to shoot around. And you're talking about, that's a lot of time between that. And I think the 7-minute mark is when they came back out, which they usually come back around the 23-minute mark. They were all off the floor. And there was some questions there if they were even going to play the game. You know, there were some people were suggesting the Celtics were considering boycotting. Then we'd heard that they were going to give or say a statement in unison together before the game. And then that got changed. And then it was just the joint statement that they released. And, you know, what's crazy to me is it's becoming more and more clear to these players, whether you're, you know, a 22-year-old who's just figuring life out or you've been in the league for 15 years, is that at least for the time being and maybe, you know, for the past 4 years, that the grown-ups have been in the sports. Like the adults have been in these games that we, you know, Pat Riley calls the Toy Department of Human Affair. And, you know, the children have been in DC. And I think for the voice of, you know, to have sports as not just a voice of what's going on, just as sort of a gauge, a barometer of what the world is kind of thinking, because they're more like everyday people, these millionaires who play basketball, than these out of touch politicians who are just, you know, insulting everybody and creating, you know, situation we've never seen in this country. So, you know, I'm just proud of the NBA, of some of these sports leagues, and just what they've become, and sort of the voices that they've had of just stability and normalcy and just some brains, because, you know, we don't know what the hell's going on out there half the time.
Hey, everybody. Before we get into today's pod, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here on Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you wanted to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and e-learning course filled with tips and tricks. On top of that, we'll get you show published to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and other listening platforms. And the best part is that you can get this all for $15 a month. That's the same rate that any other hosting site would just charge you for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to your sports experience. Acceptance to the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join.
I'm going to go to you on this, Tiffany.
Yes.
When we talk about athletes using their voices, Raphael Warnock was polling at 7% before the Atlanta Dream put his name on their shirts, even though they're owned by his opponent in the election, Kelly Loeffler. What do you feel like? Because tonight was a weird one for me. Like, people were like saying, you know, we're asking, should are we even going to do the show tonight? I'm like, what the hell am I protesting? You know what I mean? That's, you know, I don't know what I'm protesting tonight. Like, you know, I could protest what's going on in Kenosha, but that was yesterday.
Right.
What is the role of the athlete tonight, right? Like, what I feel like everyone looks at the NBA like, are you guys gonna play? Or like, right. I don't get it. Like, what is the role of the athlete on a night like tonight?
I honestly, and I think at this point, their role should be whatever they think it should be. Instead of, you know, everyone calling for them to do X, Y, and Z, they have to do what they feel they need to do. Personally, for me, I felt like, you know what, they should play. Because there's, as it stands, every other day, there's some element of trauma that just keeps creeping in. And people are searching to find that relief. You know, you wanna walk away for a minute, laugh, see something you enjoy before your whole body is overtaken again by something else. And today, this was that something else. So, you know, the sad thing is, there's going to be something else. And we can't always look to professional athletes to save us, but we can appreciate them doing their job, which is going out, playing the game that they love, and bringing joy to the people that choose to watch it.
I mean, Solana, on a day like today, like, I felt like we needed the escape of a Heat game, right? Yeah. Like, I feel like, you know, we could have used this tonight. And I don't see what's happening in DC tonight or DC earlier as a reflection on anything that the NBA was protesting during the George Floyd situation. Now, yes, there are correlations, but I feel like it was a stretch, you know what I mean, to make this about that.
Right. Well, I think Izzy's point was great, and I had actually never even thought about it that way, where the players are starting to realize, hey, we are the adults in the room. We are the ones who clearly connect with the people more. And I think now more than ever, players in the NBA and across all the big major sports leagues, even in a league like Inter Miami, players are starting to realize that. And they're really starting to embrace that. I'm with Tiffany as well. It's up to the players. And yeah, I think they felt the same way, which was, this is our escape. This is our world where we don't have to worry about these unprecedented situations. What we saw today, right? Unprecedented in my lifetime, at least. We can escape that for even if it's for 60 minutes. And they made that decision. I'm cool with it. I would have been cool either way. Yeah. As we saw in the NBA bubble, I mean, like, you see the shirt I'm wearing. Like, I have no problem with the players making a stand when they feel comfortable making that stand. So I was cool either way.
What does your shirt say?
I expected them to play, but silence is compliant. It's one of the shirts that the Heat released after the George Floyd protests. So, you know, I stand with the players. I stand with that message. So you're not going to get a
point too. Like, that's basically what the joint statement said. It was. Hey, we decided to play because it's a tough time and you guys, you know, need some joy in your life. And so that's what we came here to do. But, you know, we are not going to ignore the message or not, you know, discuss it. And so, you know, I talked to Tatum about it after the game. I'm sure it'll air somewhere. But yeah, I think that's the message. It's, hey, we're going to do what we do. So there's a reason you guys respect us and want to hear what we have to say. It's because of what we do for a living. So we're going to keep doing it. But you guys need to entertain what we have to say in regard to social justice and Alf, and everybody, actually. You guys, you can see I made it home. Round of applause. Yay. And to answer your original question, I am now drinking a Corona. Whoa.
There we go. All right.
So let me just chime in, because this is,
cheers, Alf, by the way.
As well known, this is one of my dreams, to be having a drink with Izzy.
Hey. Cheers.
Cheers.
Salute. I wanted to show this for Solana's sake.
A college freshman? What is that?
Well, I'm more of the limerita, but I'll dabble in the strawberry.
Now, why are you encouraging this?
No, this is my girlfriend drinks this, so that was making fun of Solana. And she actually, I bought this for her because she was like, "Let me get a wine cooler." She's like, "This is gross." But anyway, so I just wanted to show that for Solana. I'm going to give props to Izzy because Tiffany brought it out there. The reason I am here doing this, whether you guys like it or not, it's up in the air. It's because of Israel Gutierrez. And I will tell you why. Because Israel Gutierrez put out a column where he came out of the closet, and it was the most powerful thing I've ever read in my entire life. And I always wanted to be a journalist. I always wanted to be a writer. I always wanted to be involved in these things. But because of clinical depression and other things, it was something that I was afraid of doing. And the courage that Izzy showed by putting out that column is the reason I actually started writing again. And the first thing I wrote after 20 years of not writing was a column about Izzy and the Juice, which was a show that I really wanted to see on 790, which was Izzy Gutierrez and Ethan Skolnick. And that column gained a bunch of traction, and that show actually happened. And because of that column, I was approached by Miami Heat Beat. I started doing podcasts. Literally, the reason I'm doing this is because of Izzy. So we're just embarrassing the shit out of you right now, Izzy. So
I don't mind hearing it, man. It's one of those things where it's just like, you know, you try to do good in general, but if you can do something by accident, and I mean, I'm not saying I didn't want to help you, but like, I'm very, very, you know, happy to hear that. And like, I'll always, you know, accept those stories, because I just know that, you know, it's win-win, right? Like, you're getting something out of it, I'm getting something out of it. And, you know, the listeners, and Alf, you were that first, right? As far as I knew you. And like, you guys and the viewers are the ones who made me just feel fulfilled, like feel like I had anything to offer, because Yeah, like my bosses aren't telling me if I'm good or not. Like, and so any sort of connection I make, it's with, you know, the people who are watching and listening, and those are the ones that I care about. And so if, like I said, if I can somehow help that out and help you out in any way that I could, like, I'm glad. And, you know, you're not going to make me cry or anything, but it was.
I tried to get it right.
I'm tired, man.
I try. I thought the straw burrito was gonna make you cry, but well, let's get to the. Do we have any more questions here? Alf got other offers, but said he felt. Put that Gina Alves quote up. Alf got other offers, but he said he felt he could bully us, so he picked MHB. True story. That is absolutely true. I was approached after my Izzy and the Juice story that I posted on Blogspot or some bullshit. I was approached by a lot of different people, and I looked at Giancarlo and Brian. I was like, I can bully these nerds into letting them do whatever I want, and so that's why I chose Miami Heat Beat. So if anyone was wondering. All right, so question for Izzy. How do you think the NBA would have reacted to players sitting tonight?
The NBA would have reacted. I think the NBA would have been just fine. I think the NBA would have. Yeah, I think they would have been okay with it. I think they would have just rescheduled things and just said, hey, this was an unprecedented day in America. And the interesting part about it is, because I think a lot of players were going to have statements or say something regarding Jacob Blake and Kenosha. And this, even though it technically isn't a race thing, right? It's a race thing because it's unequal treatment. And yes. So I think that is just, those are just so eye-opening and so obvious to people that if somebody doesn't step up and say something about it or do something extreme, then we'll just live with it longer. We've lived with it this long somehow. And I think, so if the players would have said, hey, this is it, we're not playing today, the NBA would have been just fine. I think it's fans, it's real fans would have supported it and understood. And then, you know, the phonies would have kept watching, but probably said some mad things.
Joey, what do you think?
What do I think about?
What would the NBA, you know, if the players decided to sit?
Yeah, I think that the NBA is one of those leagues that I think that the power is with the players, you know. So I think that they really have the final say, whether the NBA likes it or not. They would have had to have been cool with it, you know. So it's awesome that they have that platform where they could, you know, put social like social problems in the forefront, you know, and make it so it's you know, it's important to them.
Solana, I know you got a question.
Yeah, and just really quickly to piggyback off of that, I feel like the NBA has consistently been on the right side of all these issues, right? Like, I think we can all unanimously agree since Silver's tenure, they've been on the right side of most of these issues, or if not all of them. Something you had said earlier, Izzy, that I hadn't got a chance to address, which was making a trade now for a point guard, because it's clear, it's as evident watching today's game as any of the other previous six that the Heat are missing that second ball handler, especially if Dragic is struggling. But did Jimmy, and played great, so this is not a shot at Jimmy, but did Jimmy not seem fragile to anybody out there today? He rolled his ankle at one point, he comes back, like, we know he's tough as bones, but then gets hit in the knee. Like, I felt watching that game, it's time to make the big boy move. Like, let's go get James Harden. This window is closing. And I know it's an overreaction. I'm here. Like, I understand the proper context, which is just one game, it's seven games into the season. I'm clearly overreacting to what was probably nothing. He'll be healthy, he's fine. But he, like, what is he, 31, 32 years old? Like, bro, this window is closing. Like, let's stop messing around.
I hear you. And so to me, like, I don't have that big a problem with going to get the big name. My issue is just what you're giving up. Okay. If you're for Harden, if you're giving up Tyler and Duncan, and I'm not saying that's not a fair trade, obviously, if I'm Houston, I'm asking for that, but you're changing the way you play. You're changing the way you play because Duncan Robinson is, you know, he is the Ray Allen. He is the guy that really sets a lot of this offense in motion a lot of the time. And so I think if you're losing him, you're losing a lot. You're losing more than you would if you were trading Tyler Hero. Tyler is going to be, to me, so Tyler's not a starting point guard in the NBA to me. he is capable of starting at point guard with, you know, Jimmy and Bam beside him, but he's going to be sort of a stat stuffer. He's going to be a stat sheet stuffer. He's going to get the rebounds. He's going to get the assists, probably a couple of steals here and there. But you're never really going to be able to say on any given night, all right, Tyler's going to give me 30. And I wonder if they need somebody like that, because you can't say that about, I mean, you can say that about Jimmy maybe in the playoffs when it's a big game, but you can't say that about anybody else on the team.
Right.
So I think for Bradley Beal, I'd give up the farm. I think you can, you know, you can redo what recreate the offense that you have with him. Not exactly the same. With James Harden, he's just a different player, difficult player, I think, to build around if he is not the primary ball handler, primary source of offense. So I wouldn't do that because I don't think that that's a clincher. I don't think that gives you a championship. But, yeah, Bam and Jimmy and Bradley Beal is a pretty damn threesome.
Think a Beal, Butler, and Bam big three is better than a Butler, Bam, and Harden big three?
I do. I do because of fit. I do because, like, it's just the way the game just flows differently. I'm not saying that James Harden could not win a championship as a lead guard. I'm just saying he wouldn't come into this team and play that role and still have the same feel. So it's just it's an awkward marriage to me, and I wouldn't do it. I take that back. I would do it if it was just losing Tyler. If you're losing Tyler and Duncan, I'm not.
Right. But I could see that with Bill because I think the transition would be easier because he already plays excellent off the ball. Like, that's the first key. He can come in and he will just cut, he will slash, he will do whatever and still get you 20 points.
He doesn't want to create. He wants to finish.
Yeah, so he's not begging to hold the ball. So I can see how that could already be a better transition than adding Harden.
He also dropped 60 tonight, so that helped.
Did they lose? Did they end up losing, by the way?
Yeah, they lost.
That's amazing.
He dropped 60 with 57 points through three quarters and scored two in the fourth. So
bum.
I'm not saying he's a bum. Honestly, I love Beal. I would rather Beal than Harden.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Beal's younger.
People are going to see this, but I don't want Bradley Beal taking my last shot. And I know
that's what Jimmy's for.
But that's what you got Jimmy for.
There you go.
And then you make a trade for Peyton Pritchard.
That way.
Yeah.
he's built for three quarters, which is what you need him for.
I think Harden's built for three quarters as well.
I said that too. He's built for three quarters.
And three quarters of the season, three quarters of the playoffs.
And then you get a guy like Peyton Pritchard to close, and that's how you win championships. Somebody has a question for Izzy. Honestly, Brass was fighting me on the Washington Generals Photoshop because I don't know how many people actually get the Harlem Globetrotter reference. But I'm old and I think it's funny, so fuck it. Twisted Tapioca says
it's crusty as hell, but
it is an old.
It's fine.
No, the thing is, you found like the new Washington Generals uniform. Yeah. I've never even seen that one.
Not a whole lot of pictures on Google Images. All right, Alf. So cut me some slack on that one.
I wanted the old school one for my youth, but they didn't have cameras back then. Question for Izzy. Was there a piece of the Bam feature he wanted to dig deeper into or left on the cutting room floor that you really liked?
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of things. He talked about his – I think I might have mentioned this during the Christmas game, actually. But he talked about his – I asked him what he wanted to do to improve. And he said – it was a strange answer, but I loved it. He said he wants to get to the point where – if a team gets him mad, then he can get into a mode where he's going to take over the game and that the other team knows that he's going to take over the game. And it might not just be with scoring. I had to like think about that for a second. And I was like, what exactly is he saying? And I'm still not sure, but I like it because it's just an attitude thing. He just really wants to to be the guy. He wants to be that guy. And I don't know if you noticed it, but it feels like he's just reacting a little bit more. He's sort of getting a little angrier every once in a while. He's not quietly complaining about foul calls anymore. And I think he's just taking ownership. And I think that was one of the things. I'm trying to think. He talked about the conflict. I asked him, it seems like this team needs conflict, like him versus Jimmy, Jimmy versus the player, just to kind of like, really build each other up. And he just said, yeah, I think he said proving people wrong was our conflict. He's just they're constantly they're a group of underdogs in his mind. And I think that was that's a constant mentality, which is another thing that doesn't really match well with James Harden in terms of mentality. He certainly doesn't think of himself as an underdog.
You're not a fan of the Harden trade, is what it was. It's what I'm gathering.
Of the trade. I'm a fan of Harden for everything that he is, but not this trade.
Honestly, my biggest thing with the Harden trade is if you can get Harden and somehow keep Duncan, I don't care who's involved, you do it.
I can't see that happening.
If you lose Duncan, I still would do it, but it'd be tough. We're getting into we're approaching 50 minutes here. I every time I do this show, I say I want to stay at 40. It's never happened yet. I think Mo Hargrove should be starting. Do you agree? Hashtag 50.
That's why we lost. Because
I agree.
Didn't have enough Mo Hargroves. I want to go around the horn and end with Izzy. Through seven games of the season, the Heat are 3-4. Are you concerned, or do you just think, the teams that went deep in the bubble are struggling? Joey, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think it's just like, when was the last time you played? Like 3 months ago. I think right now they're just kind of slowly getting back to form, and they're trying to see if it'll work. And if it doesn't, Pat Riley will make a trade, I think. He's not going to just let this go into the playoffs. He'll definitely do something.
Tiffany, yes. Are you concerned with the under 500 record so far?
I think there's a combination of both. The quick turnaround and I think,
Wait, quick question. Who's popping popcorn right now?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
What's happening?
Yeah, something's happening.
Somebody's typing.
Yeah, I'm not typing.
Somebody's either popping popcorn or there's a tap dance practice happening in the background. Typing. Okay, it stopped. I think it was Brass. He's just being an asshole.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, no. You didn't even hear me when my camera's not on, all right? No.
Tiffany, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I do. I think it's a combination of both. It's the quick turnaround. And I think that...
Wait. Someone said Izzy's stomach is growling. You try to maintain.
No, I haven't eaten anything.
Trying to keep that six pack.
I'm not even kidding. Like I was heading down to the arena. Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt everything. I was heading down to the arena, and I was like, you know what? I haven't eaten in like 5 hours. They don't allow eating inside the American Airlines Arena, and I realized that on Christmas when I was eating a protein bar and got yelled at by the one usher in the building. I haven't eaten since then because I was in the car and I just hit the GPS, and I was like, God. Damn it, there's a bad accident. I might not even make it in time and had nothing to eat. This beer is the first sustenance that I've had since, like, I want to say 1 p.m. I'm not even hungry.
Wait, they don't have the media meals? They're not feeding you?
I can barely, like, talk to another human being, much less be in a normal situation where there's food around. No.
Do we have a sonographer? What is going on?
Somebody is typing up.
Yeah,
this.
I'm not talking.
I feel like it's just happening whenever somebody's talking.
My hands. I'm not someone's typing anything.
Someone's writing a paper or something right
That's
now.
Strike two, Solana.
Mute Solana and see what happens. Oh, it's still happening.
Mute me.
All right, now mute Joey. Joey, what is happening? Oh, no, it's still happening. Holy shit. Oh, it's at Izzy's house.
I think it's Izzy. Wait.
Every time you meet Izzy, it goes away.
It's Izzy. It's okay.
It's okay.
We'll forgive Izzy.
Yeah.
If it was Solana, it would be fucking hell to pay.
Yeah. I'm still blaming Solana.
Yeah, I still think it's Solana's fault. Solana, are you concerned about this team?
Nah. I don't get concerned the first month into the season. I think they'll be all right. Whether it's this roster or not, I think they'll be all right. Izzy, I want to know what your go-to meal in Miami is. But not like fancy meal, you know, like wow. you're in a rush. I'm famously known on Miami Heat Beat for being a Big Chicken Kitchen guy. So I want to know what your go-to meal is.
Wait, your go-to meal is Chicken Kitchen?
I mean, man, I don't think I have a go-to. See, I'm all over the place. You said, at first I thought you were going to say like my favorite meal down here and my go-to. Honestly, like my go-to meal is like some ground turkey that I make, a little picadillo.
Oh, I was looking more kind of for like a go-to
in terms of
like a chipotle or a bole or
Have you not seen
Pollo? Okay.
Have you not seen his
garlic chipotle?
Chipotle.
And you just keep it at home.
Get Solana out of here.
Eat it with everything else. It's fucking delicious. I don't even know if I can say that, but
Solana, yeah. Just chipotle.
Right. Get him out of here.
Get Solana out of here. Solana's got to go.
Strike three, dude. Strike three. That's it. You're out.
Izzy, I apologize, Izzy. You're a special guest. It happens all the time. He just crosses the line. He asked somebody what their go-to meal is, and he mentioned.
And then got mad.
He gets mad when you said, "Oh, ground turkey," you know. And he's, well, what's the go-to meal if you're not making it yourself?
Man, I mean, it's funny. I don't think I have a go-to, but just because you're bringing it up, and this is the meal that's coming to mind. There's this Italian place down the street on Oakland Park. They sell this pear pasta. Oh my god, it's amazing! It's like these little pockets of pasta with some sort of like pear and gorgonzola cheese combination stuffed in there, and some cream sauce. I mean, I definitely would not be on the train tracks again if I ate that regularly.
Somebody's asking, "When's the last time you had a carb?" And I feel like the last time you went to that Italian restaurant.
I mean, I have carbs all the time. It's my favorite.
2012.
People think I used to be a very low carb person, but I have adjusted my life since then.
It's like an Avenger.
There you go.
I'm not sure which was the real picture at this point.
I'm getting that on a shirt.
You guys are like twins.
Somehow the skin tone is exactly the same. So
yeah. I listen. Everyone thinks I'm Dominican, Izzy. So it's okay. Yeah.
Nobody thinks I'm Dominican, and I am, so that's great.
I'm Haitian, and everyone thinks I'm Dominican, so what are you going to do? It's the same island. We're basically cousins.
Right.
Right. I hate when Brass puts up this guy's comments, because it's Schmeath and Schmomick. Izzy's Izzy's last carb was had during the Big Three era. Listen, I've had drinks with Izzy. He's had carbs since, believe me. Anyway, guys, we are way past the time. I just was so appreciative of Izzy coming on. Like, we've gushed about you enough. You know, don't get a fucking big head.
Next time I'll come on a game that I'm not working, so I won't have to drive throughout the whole situation.
And I might be on time for the beginning of the show, so that'd be cool.
That part doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't think anyone missed me at the beginning. Thank you. Is Solana still in the back?
And look, their raps are unbelievable. And
son of a bitch.
This is why. All right. We try our best to keep Solana in check. I'm going to break open this straw burrito just for Solana.
It looks so small in your hands.
Yeah.
It's like a mini can, too. And I have big hands. This is gross. Oh, my God. Why would people choose to drink this? Oh, anyway. All right. Fuck Peyton Pritchard. Fuck Donald Trump. Izzy, we can't wait to have you back on. Thank you so much. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Tiffany. Saying thank you to Alex, Solana. You ruined the show again. Thank you to Brass for producing. We will see you guys. I won't be here Saturday night. Actually, Brass is going to be hosting. I have a girlfriend, and she's basically like, at some point, you can't do every fucking Heat game. And so
I'm not the only person that has a significant other.
I know, but mine
advertising it.
Well, listen, it's
number more significant.
Not just that. It's like I know most people are surprised that I wear cargo shorts all the time, and someone's decided to love me. So I want everyone to know that you can wear cargo shorts as a fashion choice and be loved. You know what? Like, I'm a poster child.
You can hold so much love. You can hold so much love in those pockets.
Cargo shorts are not a fashion choice. They're a storage choice.
They're very tactical. It's a very tactical short.
I will tell you that the raid on the Capitol building made me feel very uncomfortable about my fashion choices. Like, a lot of those guys are dressed like I do on the weekend. There were a lot of Air Monarchs and
all that stuff. So I will see you guys. Thank you for having me.
All right, guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Izzy, again. Good night, everybody.